It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
President Biden expected to deliver a major address Thursday on the next phase of his pandemic response. He's expected to touch on schools, private companies, and requirements for federal employees. COVID-19 case numbers continue climbing, and particularly the increasing proportion of cases reporting in children are causing many health experts to worry about the outlook as the school year gets underway across the entire country. But Dr. Anthony Fauci said there shouldn't be a big uptake, quote, if we do it right. Yeah, a big if. Meanwhile, here in South Florida, 13 school employees in Miami-Dade County Public Schools have already died from COVID-19 since August 16th. This according to the Miami-Dade County School District and local teachers union. Among those 13 were four teachers, one security monitor, one cafeteria worker, and seven school bus drivers. Not one of them was vaccinated. See a pattern? On Tuesday, the president visited parts of New York and New Jersey that were devastated by the remnants of Hurricane Ida. Biden pledged his administration's full support for hurricane relief efforts and also made his case for using the infrastructure plan currently working its way through Congress to take immediate action to address the effects of climate change. While the Northeast is still reeling from the effects of Ida, California could be dealing with massive wildfires until the end of the year. The Dixie Fire in Northern California is now on its way to becoming the largest wildfire in California state history. Meanwhile, outside the U.S., a dangerous weather system is heading toward Taiwan and China. Typhoon Chanthu rapidly grew in the past 36 hours and is expected to make landfall this week. And then there's Europe, who experienced its hottest summer on record this year, and temperatures in the Mediterranean broke all records by huge margins. Climate change is real, and it's here. Now, Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott signed new voting restrictions into law on Tuesday. The legislation bans 24-hour and drive-through voting. It imposes new limits on mail-in ballots and increases access for partisan poll watchers. Texas, just the latest in a growing list of Republican-controlled states that have tightened voting rules in response to the former guy's false claims of 2020 voting fraud. Democrats have been gaining ground in Texas recently as population shifts. People of color are now accounting for nearly all of the state's population growth. So Governor Abbott said the law makes it, quote, harder than ever for people to cheat at the ballot box, while opponents of the legislation say it will disproportionately reduce voting access for marginalized voters, mostly people of color and those with disabilities. Abbott also, while in front of the cameras on Tuesday, defended his push to make Texas the state with the most restrictive abortion rights in the nation. It didn't go well.
Governor, regarding the heartbeat bill, why force a rape or incest victim to carry a pregnancy to term?
It doesn't require that at all because, obviously, it provides at least 6 weeks for a person to be able to get an abortion. And so, for one, it doesn't provide that. That said, however, let's make something very clear. Rape is a crime, and Texas will work tirelessly to make sure that we eliminate all rapists from the streets of Texas by aggressively going out and arresting them and prosecuting them and getting them off the streets. So goal number one in the state of Texas is to eliminate rape so that no woman, no person will be a victim of rape.
That deserves some kind of year-end award for the dumbest statement ever made by an elected official. You're going to wipe out rape now? So you've had a way to get rid of rape before and just never thought about it? It all makes no sense. Thanks, Texas. So it looks like Mexico is going to capitalize on Texas anti-abortion law, as Mexico's Supreme Court Tuesday unanimously ruled that penalizing abortion is unconstitutional. While we're talking about Mexico, a powerful 7.0 magnitude earthquake shook southwestern Mexico near Acapulco on Tuesday night, killing at least one person, a man struck by a falling electric pole. The quake was strong enough to be felt in Mexico City, more than 230 miles away. People fled buildings there and sought safety in the streets. About 1.6 million people lost electricity. News out of Afghanistan, where the Taliban announced the formation of a new hardline interim government. They filled all the top posts with veterans of the Taliban who oversaw the 20-year war against the U.S.-led military coalition. No women and no members of Afghanistan's ousted leadership were selected for acting cabinet positions. This in spite of the Taliban's promises of an inclusive government and a more moderate form of Islamic rule than when it was last in power between 1996 and 2001. Their group of senior leaders includes former Guantanamo inmates, members of a U.S.-designated terror group, and subjects of international sanctions lists. The acting interior minister is on the FBI's most wanted list with a $10 million bounty on his head. The leadership announcement came on the same day that the Taliban used gunfire, arrests, and beatings to crush dissent as thousands of Afghan protesters marched through the streets of Kabul. Now, while the Republicans in the United States are making a lot of noise about leaving Afghanistan with so many allies still stuck there, they're also balking at allocating any money for Afghan refugee resettlement in a funding deal that must pass later this month to avoid a government shutdown. In addition to those funds, the White House is also asking Congress to include more funds for disaster relief. Democratic leaders are also considering including a debt limit hike in the package. My question is, what are they waiting for? They raised the debt ceiling every time without fighting Donald Trump's administration on it. And now that the Dems are back in control, the Republicans will fight the mechanism that requires the government to pay for the spending they've already allocated. But back to disaster relief. President Biden's budget office is calling for more than $14 billion for needs that preceded Hurricane Ida, with at least $10 billion in disaster funding for Ida alone. The administration wants $6.4 billion for the Pentagon, State Department, and the Department of Health and Human Services to help them accommodate Afghan allies and partners evacuated from Afghanistan after the Taliban took over the country last month. And finally, Britney's free. Well, almost. Her father, the conservator of her estate, filed a petition Tuesday seeking to end the court-ordered 13-year conservatorship. On Tuesday, the filing said that if Britney Spears, quote, wants to terminate the conservatorship and believes that she can handle her own life, Mr. Spears believes that she should get that chance. Well, a previously scheduled hearing in the case is coming up on September 29th.
Leave Britney alone!
And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.